Tech, we got the house rocking again, man. Real Racing USA back live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm what's left of Bill Green.
And that would be... What? Do you want to know? What do you want to know?
What do you want to know what?
Who you are is what he was doing.
I'm Rick Angies.
Oh, Jack Smith here.
Yes. And the injured Bill Green.
That's just the injured Bill Green.
See what happens when
Bill's
you go out of state,
injured.
Bill?
What's left of me?
What's good when you go out of state?
Yeah.
We're pegging over here for some reason.
Well, there's probably several different reasons, but I don't think it's going to be too bad. Is the compressor? Yeah, the compressor's on.
Coming to you live from the Snook River Grill, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
You don't have to reach over and turn his down. It sounds like that one's the way.
Yeah, don't worry about any of that.
I'm not going to mess with
it. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
So we have a packed house here at the Snook River Grill tonight again.
50.
We have the, you know, Rick, what we have, I see a young man over there is probably all of about 8. When Choquette, or he's 6 or 7. It looks to me like when Jeff Choquette's about 28 years old, that kid's going to be kicking his butt.
That's probably going to be happening pretty soon.
Future of stock car racing, probably
the
sitting
future
in this
of
room.
Stock car racing.
And this young man over here.
He's a veteran.
He's a veteran.
He's an
Daniel
all-time.
Miller. Daniel oh, Miller. My. He's a veteran.
He's been around it too many
Yeah, we
long.
Got him in the house from 6 years old then. Probably, I see Mom and Pop Pardalo. I haven't seen them since Sunshine. So
yeah,
that's
Rob Pardalo sitting back there. He's still astonished that he was in the winner's circle at the ASA race.
Yeah, you get lucky every once in a while, don't you? His brother must have pulled over.
So the future of stock car racing, though, might be starting up in Lake City this weekend.
What's that? That Ricky Carmichael deal?
Ricky Carmichael deal starting up there.
It's gonna be the mass media gaggle screw up there. Buddy, let me tell you,
because
it has been told on way too many national nations.
I'll guarantee you, there have never been that many pictures taken at Lake City, at Columbia.
Anybody not know what's happening at Columbia this weekend?
Nobody
knows. That far out of the loop? Okay,
nobody knows.
It's like amazing that
Mark Martin's going to walk out of first place.
Yeah, he's going to sit down out of the car.
Nextel Cup points. I got something about that Nextel nasty car thing too.
Yeah. So anyway,
nasty car.
But Mark Martin's taking Ricky Carmichael and Matt Martin to Lake City. He's going to Columbia Motorsports Park to race late models, and everybody in the nation knows he's going to show up there.
Almost everybody.
Well, they've been making a lot of press about it for the last 6 weeks. 8 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean,
they were.
It's everywhere you go on a motorsports website. It's there.
It's been on.
Well, the interesting thing to me though is Ricky Carmichael, Supercross motorcycle racer, jumping in a late model.
He probably
you
did
know,
just
that's
as well
first
as some
test
of the others.
To move up, you know, and they're planning on taking this kid all the way up. So
they've
we'll
invested
see how that
some
happens.
Money in him. They've invested a lot of time and money in him.
Well, we got tonight. We have the. A lot of people from the International Motorsports Academy.
Yeah, we're going back to the roots of racing here
and,
with the go-karters.
Fast Times Production, who are they're involved with this.
Been a while since we get seen
them. The Fast Mini Cups.
Been a while since you've seen them. They bring a dang busload of folks.
I'm telling you.
And, of course, we're going to talk to Rob Pardalo and some of his crew who...
John Sapricone's ready here.
Yes.
He's loaded for bear.
Loaded for bear.
So when John comes on...
We're going to talk about open-wheel modifiers with John. Is that what this is all about?
Oh, John wants to talk about everything.
Yeah, you know how John is.
What else we got in here?
It's going to be fun to talk to Rob
Pardalo.
Give
us a call.
We have Mike Peters. Mike Peters is here from Internet
Radio Network.
Radio Network, okay.
And he's streaming.
He streams our shows, Real Racing USA, on Tuesday night, too.
So Sebring ran this past weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what won?
Camaro.
I have no idea.
A diesel.
A diesel?
Oh, cool.
An Audi diesel.
I'm waiting for one of those
You didn't go.
Cars.
No, I didn't go.
Man, I remember you used to, you had a long dozen-year streak going,
you? Yeah, I was going for a while. But
yeah.
I've retired from that.
That's probably a good thing for health reasons, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Once you start hitting towards that 50 mark.
suddenly, I feel like I'm in munchkin
Did you hear about the NASCAR lawsuit, the latest lawsuit against NASCAR?
Nasty car? No.
Nasty car. AT&T is suing NASCAR.
Oh, does this have to do with telephones?
Yes, it does.
It has to do with monopolizing the advertising.
Jeff Burton is sponsored by Singular, which AT&T has bought.
They what?
Has purchased AT&T. So they want to put that on the hood. They've spent their millions of dollars.
Take the singular off, put the AT&T on.
And NASCAR says no.
Cannot change.
Not,
primary
no.
sponsors. That
no,
are
no, no,
in
no. That's
business.
Not got nothing to do with it. What it's got to do with is Nextel
it.
Sprint.
Yeah.
Says no.
Yeah, Nextel Sprint put
You're
it in the contract.
AT&T on that.
Well, I told you it was only one companies. Little step away from WWE. You know. I mean,
absolutely.
Well, everybody thinks it's rigged now. That for some guy was trying to.
Well, intelligent people would have to think that.
Somebody was trying to say that Tony Stewart moved over. The Home Depot car moved over and let the Lowe's car win because it was supposed to be and it was the way they wanted it for the WWE version of NASCAR.
Do you think that's what happened?
There's just
as stupid as it gets.
There's just too much irony involved in all
know,
of this stuff.
Crazy. Yeah.
So anyway,
IMA, I got a little taste of this coming into Charlotte.
I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number one.
Go, Rick, go. And it looks like such a cool deal. And I've been involved with other racing schools and things of that nature when it comes to bomb and the ambassador racing and such as that. So tell me a little bit. Sebastian Searle and Jennifer Stringer are here for the IMA. You guys have making it all happen down here, it sounds like. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's get the technology rolling in the right direction. Your mic's on.
Excuse
now,
me,
your
pretty
mic's
low
on.
Tech.
There we go.
Yeah, you don't have to. What brought you to, when did you start it?
Yeah, you're
we started September 2005. I've made some modifications to the, back then it was called the Charlotte County Speedway with Leroy Davidson. And I've paved some corners inside the oval where the X was, and I've also incorporated the back straight, the back parking section of the oval behind turn one and two. So we have a half a mile a road course that's very good for teaching because it's got some blind corners, some elevation changes, which is pretty rare in Florida. So we have a good training facility, and we're specializing in driver training. There's a lot of my drivers that are here tonight.
Yeah,
there's Olivier, Nathan,
yeah,
Alexis, Carson. Those are the future.
Guy in a cast.
Look at him. Yeah, this is
Bradley.
This is not a good advertisement.
Guy in a pink cast. It's a pink
he had a
cast.
Ski accident.
Yeah, well, he's
a ski accident.
Got in touch with his feminine side, apparently.
Okay.
So we're really specializing on driver training. We start to train them 4 years old and up. Using a purpose-built race cart.
Let me ask you, why do you start at four when the national norm has always been 5 years of age for the World Karting Association mini kid carts and so
That's forth? A good question. We started at five, and then some parents approached me saying then, well, you know, I have a younger son or a younger daughter that's four, and he or she's got pretty good motor skills, so why don't you try and teach them, just a couple of tricks, you know. And the first four-year-old that we had, I have to say, I was a bit not afraid, but I didn't know what to expect. But it turned out that he's got a lot of talent. Even at 4 years old, you should see his racing line. I mean, turn in, apex, exit of the corner, very fast already. It's very amazing to work with those kids.
Well, you're going to pick the chair up probably and move it outside the wires. And if you'll move the mics away from you just a touch and not
right.
quite so close.
Okay.
You get real close, it gets really low.
Okay.
But it's awesome to think of that, but I've also been prone to think that a lot of kids that are 5 and 6 years old even, when they get in the kids' carts and they put the gas down, then that's it. The gas is down and we're driving and they don't do anything
it's
else.
It's the first
and
exercise that,
that
we do,
sometimes.
Actually. We do a threshold-breaking exercise, which is in road racing, is braking as hard as you can without spinning the cart around, which is very difficult. So like you said, you know, for any driver, you know, it's either on and off, you know, the pedals, either the gas or the brakes. So it's the first exercise that we practice. And after a few times, they understand you cannot push both pedals at the same time. Otherwise, you know, you're going to burn the clutch and you're going to spin out and you won't slow down. So, you know, after a couple of rounds, they get the grasp of it. And after that, you'll be surprised because my background is I've done a lot of teaching with Skip Barber Racing School at the Sebring International Raceway, as well as the Panos Racing School and the Porsche and Audi driving experience. So I was used to work with older gentlemen driver and very wealthy. that they thought that they knew everything because they were successful in the business world, but the world. But with the kid, it's the opposite. Their mind are like sponges; they assimilate the information very quickly. And after a few hours with them, it's just amazing.
That's awesome, and it's really cool that people can get them started that early. I mean, and actually have them in a place where they can be under control and stuff. I know that Rick gets to see some karting every once in a while. I'm sure maybe he stumbles out to DeSoto and watches their karting and the Tri-City Kart Club is still operating in that area. There's a lot of karting going on, and people don't really realize it. When you go to the World Karting Association races in December up in Daytona,
it's huge.
You've got 1,225 entries at the Coliseum and probably another 585 out at the Daytona International Speedway shifter karts.
People don't realize it's really grassroots motorsports. I mean, that's where it all started. You look at Tony Stewart's resume, Jeff Gordon, they all started dirt tracking, go-karts. It's really where it started at.
Jennifer, what part of the media side and getting the word out has been the hardest for you?
Well, it's learning the sport has been a big part of it. I'm from Indianapolis, so motorsports has been part of my life since I was these kids' age. Obviously, going to the Indy 500 back in the day when turn 16 was the party side. I've been involved in all of that, so I've had a lot of fun with motorsports. But getting involved in this and getting my kids involved has been a big challenge, just letting go and letting them drive and have fun. But my part of it has really largely been marketing and PR, trying to start the academy that Sebastian has envisioned, which is really looking to taking these young drivers and making them into professional drivers in the future, training them young so that they learn everything technically about the driving, about the track, and making them into future Formula drivers, NASCAR drivers, and really promoting those kids.
Well, now you've got Nathan Stringer is the kid kart driver, and you got Alexis is a cadet kart driver. What's it like from a mother's side of the fence looking at them when they're this young and they're in the karts and they're flying around the track?
It's nerve-wracking. You've got your little kids out there. They've got the best gear, and if I didn't believe in the training that they're receiving at IMA, I wouldn't be having my kids out there. Obviously, it is a little nervous watching them drive on their own and having to depend on them to know when to gas and when to brake. But their training that they're receiving at the school is bar none, and they get a lot of time on the track. They get a lot of time with one-on-one instruction. We don't release anyone to the track unless we're very confident in their abilities and their ability to listen and their ability to be safe drivers.
So you kind of earn a license,
You have to earn
a license.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
That's the way to do
it.
We get many, many questions every day. We have phone calls of people that just want to come out and rent our carts, and that is one thing we will not do. We do not want people to go out there and damage the carts, hurt themselves. Priority number one is safety. And that's what we focus on at IMA.
Well, the IMA, it's easy to find online, folks. It's imaracing.com. There's a lot of information there, a lot of stuff going on. The 4 to 7-year-old kid karts are in action. They do half-day and full-day programs. You go right on through 8 and 11-year-olds, 12 and 14-year-olds, young adult 15-year-olds and up, seniors. All of that going on. You do enduro racing on Sundays. Is that normal?
We do a team race, which is a 90-minute race where groups of drivers can come out, 2 to 3 drivers per team, and race in our rental carts, which are 4-stroke Honda engines. And you can compete against your boss, compete against your best friend, race as a family. And those races are 90 minutes, 5 driver changes, 5 pit stops, in our rental cart, so it's very competitive, and we have a great time. We have Suncoast Porsche that comes out and drives with us. We have Team Waymire, or Hardcore, as they call themselves, is out here. They race with us. We've got quite a few great fans around the area that come out and race with the Enduro. And we also do the sprint race on Sunday, which we do have this Sunday at the Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Now, and all of this is happening at Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
That's correct.
And it happens, what days of the week do you run the schooling portion of this?
We run the schools every Sunday except the 4th Sunday that we have our sprint races. We do schools in the morning, schools in the afternoon, and we do schools during the week. So all they need to do is just to pre-register with us, give us a call, 941-661-4136, or our website, www.imaracing.com, to schedule their school. And we can get them into the schedule and get them started.
Let me say that again. It's phone number 941-661-4136, and it's the imaracing.com. And they can hook it up any day of the week kind of thing to get your kid out. We got spring break coming up. We got summer coming up. Those times of the year, I'm sure you pick up a little bit, and you have more programs running than on the normal winter time.
I got a question for you. Where did the concept for this come from, and how did you end up at Charlotte?
Well, like I said previously, my background besides racing, obviously, has been teaching, because at one point it's very hard to make it professionally as a professional driver. So I came across teaching as, you know, to make a living at the Sebring International Raceway with the previous school that I mentioned earlier. And there's nothing like it for the younger generation of drivers. So it became a reality when I struck a deal with back then the Charlotte County Motor Speedway and modified the track, and so we've been growing steady ever since.
And the idea too comes from the fact that there are tennis programs, there are soccer programs, there are football programs, there are baseball programs for the youth, but there is nothing that really takes a young youth from age 4 on up and really focuses on their training and driving and experience to move them up into the motorsports ladder and to make a career out of motorsports. There's really no true direction yet for those young people, and they're struggling. If you don't have money, it's a struggle every day to find sponsorship and marketing to promote yourself. So our goal at the end of the day is to try to get these students started in the right direction for a lifetime of motorsports, if that's where their heart is.
So you're basically, you're not only teaching them the driving aspect, are you teaching them how to talk, how to go for the sponsorships,
exactly.
All that?
Actually, in September, actually this summer, we're going to start a new full-time program. It's going to be a full motorsport immersion program in collaboration with the Bradenton Prep Academy, located here in Bradenton. It's going to be a unique program where the kids come to the racetrack in the morning, do their seat time with the carts, and go back to the academy in the afternoon to continue their, you know, their full-time academics, because it's a problem if you look at you know, aspiring professional athletes, you know, in the past, and it's always the case, they have to compromise their schooling in order to push to pursue their dreams of making it as a professional athlete. So we're trying to overcome that, you know, make that easier for them. So it's something very unique.
Well, a lot of the youth are doing homeschooling now, which, you know, this way, that way, however you want to lean towards that. I myself think, like you're saying, Braden and Prep, you know, will be doing the regular schooling. He'll be teaching the racing aspect of it.
That's an awesome setup. I hope it continues to work for the youth.
Well,
and the kids.
It's comparable to, like, IMG. IMG.
Exactly. Yeah. We're following the same vein. Yeah.
And IMG is covering all sports now, except there's nobody covering racing.
Exactly. You know?
Except motorsports.
Exactly. Right. So we got it covered.
There you go. That's a good idea.
We're going to be teaching them in our full-time academy, as you mentioned, the marketing, sponsorship, PR, how to gain that those opportunities. We're going to be teaching them vehicle dynamics, kart mechanics. They're going to be able to take their karts out to the track and be competitive. We're going to make sure that they have the right sponsorship, the right equipment, the right gear to win in all the national events, national races. And we will have a race team as well that's going to help fulfill those dreams.
So you're going to also be teaching them how to work on the carts.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Engineering, car setup.
That was one of the things Tri-City Kart Club had a real problem with, was people would come and buy even a kid's cart, go buy one off the shelf.
Throw them in the cart,
and dad didn't know nothing about carts
either.
There's
so much education to be done. You're exactly right.
So it took a while to get them. Exactly. We need to take a break and get some of the kids up, because I know we got a few to talk to. Or you want to do
Sure, you want to take a break?
Well,
we can do the break. I know how to do that. Watch this.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play coach. Apparently, those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities. Oh, that's right, mother. Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips like catch the ball and throw it. Shout it out loud. You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory. Reverse psychology. So here's to you, oh Sultan of Shouting. Yes, yes. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
All right, welcome back to the Snook River Grill, ladies and gentlemen. We are fixing to get fancy-dancy and have some fun here now.
Dude, check this out, man.
There's little Dave Fletcher, little Jimmy Cove, and little Mary Green.
Yeah.
This is actually...
And that dude right there reminds me of Showtime.
This is actually...
I hate to say it, but there's little Yoho.
From our right to left, this would be Carson Waymire, correct? I got the right one. And then we've got Olivier Ballinger. Correct? Okay. They're nodding their heads. You got to say yes.
You got to say yes. Say yes into the microphone.
And you got Nathan Stringer?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And right beside him is his sister, I believe, Alexis Stringer, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Alexis being the 10-year-old of the group and the rest being under 8. Who's the youngest? Who's 5? Who's 6? Who's 4? Who's what?
I'm 6.
You're 6?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Put the microphone right up there.
Okay, so they're all
stuck. Hold the microphones right up to you there.
He's 7. Okay, so we've got 2, 6, a 7, and a 10. Wow.
Actually, he's turning 10.
Okay, turning 10. Oh, he threw you right under the bus.
So your brother threw you right under the bus. Who's the best race car driver sitting at this table right here?
Them two.
Who are you? Who are you with the hand up? What's your name?
You got to tell us.
You can't beat Nathan's honesty, okay? Well, he pointed two. The other two guys.
Those two and me.
Oh, he throws himself.
All right.
Who's had the most wins?
Ooh. The guy with the hand up.
There you go.
Serious.
Are you guys having, I mean...
What's the guy with the hand signal?
Oh, with
name?
His the blue is Carson. That's Carson.
Carson.
Are you enjoying this racing, this kind of racing, Carson? Have you really started to enjoy it? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Say
sir.
Yes.
Just say it in the microphone.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about yourself and why you decided to go kart racing. When did you convince Mom and Dad about it?
They asked me, then I said yes.
They asked you?
Oh.
And what's
same
the
for me.
What's your name?
Nathan.
Your new name is Showtime.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Olivia.
Nathan.
What about you?
Nathan, when you first got in the cart, were you scared at all?
Not really.
No? Were you ready to had you driven anything before? Go karts or anything? No?
No. But I drove my car. I drove my mom's car in Indiana.
You drove your
mom's car?
What, was she sick or drunk or what was going
Where's
on?
Where's your mom? Where's your mom? Where's your mom?
She's right there. She's in charge of the program. Uh-huh.
Where's your mom?
What was going on? You just sitting in her lap kind of thing? No, you drove
it? No, you can talk into the mic.
Oh, man.
He's shaking his head yes. Say yes.
You must have gone to McDonald's or something.
Where'd you go? No. Did you go to the drive-thru?
No.
No? How did you reach the pedals?
I didn't.
Yeah,
you sit on mom's lap, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Olivier, let me ask you the same kind of question. What prompted you to get started in go-karting?
My parents asked me.
They thought it was kind of cool and they thought you'd be good at it?
Yeah.
Did you run around the yard doing a lot of things? Did you ever have a yard cart, so to speak, or something to play with? Or?
No, not really.
So, you know, sometimes you choose four wheels over two. People don't like motorcycles, and parents really hate them, and then so forth. But that's pretty cool. What, Nathan? Go ahead. No, go ahead, man. You're going to be a good media guy. I can tell.
Yes, this is your show. Showtime.
Nathan, you ask them a question so that they answer.
And you're not just on radio here, so you're on television, too. There's the camera over there. So
I can see that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
No, he can see that, Jack. He doesn't need you.
This is the second time today I've been on that.
Oh, you were on television today? Earlier?
Yeah.
Really?
You were busy. Did you make a commercial or something? Or?
No, I was on Fox 4.
Fox 4?
All right.
Did you do the Wild Bill show this morning? Oh, cool. That's awesome. I heard about that. That's pretty neat. Give your sister the microphone for a second. She looks like she's bored. All right, Alexis, what got you into karting? You're a girl on top of being everything else, and people really look weird at you at times when you go kart racing.
We used to have a Jeep, and I wanted to go faster.
Than the Jeep?
So, yeah.
Ah, yes. Did you ride on your mom's lap, too?
No.
You drove it yourself?
No.
No?
Well, how'd you go fast? Oh, you were
Oh, you were riding in the Jeep.
Who was going real fast driving?
It was an electronical kid Jeep.
Ah.
Oh, an electric Jeep. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you were buzzing around the yard in the electric Jeep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so were you.
You live with her?
Yeah.
That must be nice of her. She pay the bills?
They're sisters and brothers.
I know. Anyway, so now that you've gotten into competition racing and stuff, what do you see? What's the difference? What's the hardest part of it, so to speak? Take your time. She's thinking.
Well,
Nathan, let her answer.
You have to be a really fast speed to get into specific groups, and you have to pass people, and it's kind of complicated to pass people, especially when they're going really, really fast.
So you're starting to learn all the tricks of how you apex a corner, and sometimes you have to wait on them and do the old Partolo shuffle.
Yeah.
Apex?
There you go.
Apex.
Yeah, apex.
That's one of the first things they teach you.
Right.
Tell him, Nathan. Hand the thing back
to him. How long have you been doing this?
What's apexing a corner?
Explain to me about apexing a corner, okay? Explain it to me, because I really don't know. I really don't know.
Jack is apex ignorant.
What would you say it is, Nathan? How do you, by the way you work through the corner, what part of that is apexing the corner and making sure you do it right? You got to talk into it, Nathan.
Yeah, we put out cones to know where the turn and apex and exit is, so we can know where it is, so we can drive right next to the cones.
Well, Jack needs some cones in his driveway.
All right, good. Okay, that's very good.
That's it. That's how they teach them, apex in the corner.
So how many years have you been doing this? Anybody?
Just a half year.
Half a year? What have you learned?
I've learned how to drive mostly like a car and...
You learned about flags too, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just worried they weren't teaching the whole thing.
There's lots of flags.
Hey, listen, back over here to Carson. Carson, buddy, you've learned to do all the driving, all the flags and stuff. But what's the future plan? What kind of plan does a young man like yourself have to work through the kid carts and go into the next level and so forth?
Well, I am. What is it?
Well, do you have a plan? Does mom and dad said, okay, you got to stay in the kid cart until you're X age, and then you can move up to another cart or something else, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the plan? Do you have a plan to do all of that kind of stuff?
Do you want to keep racing?
What is it? What's your plan?
When I'm 8, I'm going to go into the cadet.
Cadet carts. Okay. Now, cadet carts, that's where Alexis is, correct?
Yes.
What's the difference between a cadet cart and a kid cart?
Cadets go faster, and they're lighter, and you feel free.
I like it. That is a good explanation.
Wow.
Feel free. I like that.
We need to keep that quote right
That's
there.
A better answer than that guy Joe Cool gave us.
Yeah. He just wanted to hit people.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Alexis, throw that microphone way over here to Bradley Hagerman. Bradley is a senior tag driver, correct?
Correct.
What's a senior tag?
15 plus, age 15 plus.
Okay, and then that's just like unlimited motor? What's the deal?
Well, it's You have your spec motor, right? Or 125cc two-stroke. They have different engines from different companies.
Do you just show up and get in the cart and somebody else prepares it and everything?
Kind of. I'm not very too mechanically inclined yet. I'm still learning.
What happened with the foot? You got a cast on. We were talking about that.
I had a freak racing accident.
A freak?
They're all freak accidents, man.
Well,
you got out in front of one of the little guys that didn't stop or what?
First lap of a race, you know how it could be.
First corner.
And everybody wants to win on the first lap.
Instead of reaching out to the guy, you tried to kick him?
I don't really know what happened. It happened so fast.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to see you got injured. I hope that everything was taken care of. Okay.
Yeah,
when will you be back racing? How long will it be?
Hopefully this year. I don't know how, maybe 5 months. I don't know.
So I take it you're probably still showing up and just helping out with the schooling and stuff and kind of doing what you can.
It's hard to get around, so I'm just getting there.
No problem. How long had you been in racing? How long have you been doing karting?
Well, I haven't been doing karting very long. I've been into racing pretty much my entire life. I just never had the means of feeling it. My dad isn't really mechanically... Well, he doesn't have the time to work on karts. He used to race motorcycles when he was like 14 and whatnot. But he just never had the time to take me to the tracks and work on the karts and whatnot.
So being a new guy to the actual racing side of it and getting in the kart, you got the entire training program. You learn from square one how to do all these things we've been talking about, apex corners or start and stop and so forth.
Yes. My dad didn't teach me that. I learned pretty much from Sebastian in various racing schools. I met Sebastian at one of the racing schools he worked at. So pretty much if I met Sebastian when I was their age, the younger, who knows where I'd be right now. How they could work on the carts for you and store everything, that would have been
cool.
Perfect.
Awesome. We appreciate you dropping by and coming with these kids tonight and showing off the IMA program, because I think in general the whole thing we're trying to get across here is that the IMA is there. It's a great program, and apparently it's a great starter program for youngsters, and it gives you an opportunity to go racing competitively and learn the ins and outs of doing it correctly.
Yes.
And there's a lot of folks that do it incorrectly. I've seen guys who are 30 years old go buy a sprint car. What's going on? So,
Are you guys having fun doing this?
You guys have fun racing?
Yeah.
Would you rather be racing or in school?
Okay, thank you.
Anybody?
Racing.
Okay, I was just worried there for a second. Nathan lost his microphone. He's looking at you for his microphone. Nathan is naked without the microphone. Toss it back to him real quick.
Yeah.
Nathan, here you come, buddy. What do you want to say?
Speak, Nathan.
What were you saying?
Showtime. Come on.
You want to be in racing or you want to go to school?
I'd rather do racing the whole week instead of going to school.
Do racing the whole week? You could just get in the cart, do a lap, come back, do a project, get in the car, do a lap. It'd be fun.
No projects, just racing.
It's awesome. What do you think, Jack?
It's amazing.
Is this the future of the future of the future?
It's amazing.
I think it's really amazing, and the first thing we really need to do, all of you need to give yourselves an applause, because I know all the moms and dads are here that take care of these kids and make sure it happens for them. Yeah, exactly. And that's awesome in itself, number one, because you do put out a lot of time, a lot of effort, and there's some cash disappearing, I guarantee it. So it's just one of those things, but it's awesome for you to give these kids an opportunity like this.
Enjoy it while you can, because late models are coming.
Before we leave, guys, I want you to hit me with any other sponsor or thank your parents or whatever you want to do. Let's go right to left, right around. We'll start here with the Carson and work our way right around. Who helps you race, and who do you want to thank? Are there any businesses involved or just mom and dad?
Mom and dad.
Okay, you want to thank mom and dad? Tell them.
Daddy and mommy.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Pass it over to Olivia. Olivier, who's helping you, man? Who's helping this happen?
My dad.
Your dad? You're not G-Force, because it sure looks like it.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm glad dad's helping you and stuff. And do you have a future plan? Do you have some kind of thing in your head that you'd really like to make it to NASCAR, or you'd like to go sprint car racing or something else?
No, not really.
Not really? You just like what you're doing right now, huh? That's cool. All right, Nathan, give it to me, buddy. Give me the whole shebangalo. Who's helping you out? Who's your sponsors?
My mom and dad.
Your mom and dad? Do you want to say thank you?
And my dad's
And my dad's worker, Doug.
Doug.
Cool.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Cool.
He remembered everybody. Go ahead, Alexis. Let us know. Who's helping you out?
Our mom and dad.
Doug. He leans in and elbows her and goes, and Doug.
Doug.
And Doug.
It all can't, it couldn't happen without Doug.
I know. Bradley, anybody special helping you out, buddy?
Sebastian, obviously. My father. Doug.
That's Doug. Okay.
Doug does a lot of work.
Where is Doug? Is Doug here?
Doug's not here.
Doug should have been here.
Is Doug here? He's not here.
Doug's working.
Yeah, he's working. Okay.
He's working to help pay for the cart. We now call him Dig Doug because we got to dig him up. So,
all right. So,
thanks so much, man. Thanks, guys. We really appreciate it. How about a big hand for these kids, man? That's awesome.
Hey, coming up a little later, we have some more kids from the IMA, and then we also are going to talk to Dan Pardolo.
Yeah, we got some mini cup drivers.
Yeah, John Sapricone sitting over.
John
in the corner.
Sapricone itching over here. We got the head of ARCA, public relations ARCA, and also he'll be with us, Don Rodenbauer. I did it again.
Rodenbauer.
And Brian Silas, some other things. Take it away, man.
All right.
Cool.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarKnight gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, go nuts, buddy.
Pinch me, I'm dreaming.
Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin.
Feed it frenzy.
If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay.
Thank God for the gravy.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, buffet boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
We'll probably start one.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA at the Snook Rivers Reel, and it is a packed house. We're talking IMA go-kart racing. We've got mini cup racers in the house. We got some open wheel modified racers going on, and we'll get a chance to talk to the man himself, John Sapricone, about modified racing in Florida here in a few minutes in the next hour. But right now, we've got two gentlemen going to talk to me about now. We just talked to four of the cutest, smallest of the bunch when it came to Carson Waymire, Nathan Stringer, Olivier Bellinger, and Alexis Stringer. Now we get to go to some of the guys that do a little bit quicker, faster, taller, bigger, guy racing, I guess, and that would be Bradley Hagerman sat back down with us, and Pat Waymire. Pat, how you doing, buddy? And make sure you
good,
flip
good.
The
How's
switch.
It, going?
It is on. Good. Now, you are, is it a master shifter carter, or what are you doing, an endurance cart or something?
No, the cart that we run with IMA is an endurance cart. It's a four-stroke cart. You know, they have 20 to 30 of them, and at any given time, just, you know, 20 of them or so out there. They run a heavyweight class and a lightweight class, so it's evenly matched.
They run them at the same time?
They run them at the same time, okay. So you don't always know exactly who you're up against when you're out there, but, you know, timing and scoring keeps track of that.
Just pass the guy in front
That's
of
right.
you.
That's right.
Now, are there, at your level, in the endurance carts, when people say endurance cart, people think, oh, God, you're going for an hour and a half
right.
or something. Is that what you do? You have
absolutely.
Timed races?
Yep, absolutely. You have two okay. to three driver teams, and obviously the more drivers, the less time you spend in the cart. But it does get kind of rough out there after a while, so you get bruised up pretty good. But.
Well, now, are there a lot of ladies in
There endurance? Are a couple of ladies that do it, yep.
Cool.
And, you know, they do quite well, actually.
That's awesome. You
know, you're out there
now,
and having time.
Now, Bradley, I'm told that you've also run the endurance program.
Yes.
Okay, what did you think of that when you got into that and started going around lap after lap after lap after lap?
It was fun. I wish it was a little longer because I could outlast pretty much everyone. So.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like to go for hours, and they do have some endurance kart races. I think the WKA has some that are almost three-hour races, and you don't change drivers.
I think
you
they
just
do
run.
12 and 24-hour races, too.
Oh, they do them?
Yeah, I think
yeah but that has driver changes.
Oh, yeah, driver changes, absolutely.
So that's pretty cool. What do you think of the IMA? You've been around
for
a little
great.
While now.
They're very organized, you know, well-structured. It's an all-around good club.
And one thing I want to make sure I point out to folks is this is go-karting. This is not like your Saturday night racetrack where you go out, pay a fee to get in, and then you're going to make some money back as you win or lose or something.
Right.
This is a training program that you're paying for the instruction along the way. So it's
absolutely.
Not. It's a whole different ballgame, so you've got to think differently.
Yes.
What is it you like about Charlotte County Motorsports Park and the different layouts that they can lay out for you?
Oh, it's great. I mean, it's flexible. I don't know.
Is it always a road course?
Yeah, I mean,
or do they sometimes just make it the oval?
No,
let's go with the oval.
They generally always run the road course, and it's a blast. I mean, you got several high speed blind corners, and
when you go off in turn, I guess it's off in turn one.
You're off in turn
track.
Two, actually, because you run it counter. You run it reverse. You
okay.
run it reverse from the oval track.
So you go off in turn two, down the hill, and back up over the corner
Correct.
In turn one.
Right.
Okay.
And those are both high-speed sweepers.
Wow.
I mean, and
yeah,
it's
moving.
A blast.
And I noticed they have brought in, I guess they bought those special barriers that have a little bit of,
yep.
it's a hollow plastic, I'm sure.
Yep,
but
and
just
they're a lifesaver.
Kind of, yeah,
I mean,
saves you a lot. Instead
yep.
of hitting the old rubber tire
no,
and flipping
you hit
over
one of them,
stuff.
And you don't do the damage to the cart, and you don't do the damage to yourself, and... You
didn't
know,
help
move
the guy
just
with the
enough
cast.
To keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, I started saying Bradley's got a little damage done.
Well, that was before.
I don't think he's given us the whole story either.
the plastic barriers weren't where I hit at the time. So now if I had the same accident again, I probably would have walked away. Maybe a little bit bruised and shaken, but not injured like I am.
Yeah, and it's awesome because, I mean, you can literally change the shape of the track within a few minutes.
Right.
You can pull a barrier, drag them out of the way, put them in the way. It's just pretty cool. Is there anything in this whole situation and program that you would, you know, bring up? Hey, let's change this. Let's make this a little better.
No, I mean, I really think it's set up very well. I mean, you go out there, you run for an hour and a half, and it's a blast. Absolutely.
How about you, Brad?
Oh, I love
if
it.
If you were in charge, what would you do?
The only thing we could use is a timing and scoring, but we need a. You need money to get that. It's probably be like $15,000 to set it up. So if there's any sponsors.
The scoring loop, you mean? And
the yeah, all
transponders
that.
And
yeah,
so
right,
transponders.
Running transponders.
Well, you can make each driver pay for their own transponder, and then you only have to buy the loop and the little kit, and that's only about $3,500.
Yeah, so, but the IMA carts, they're rental carts for the endurance races. So yeah, you rent the cart.
Maybe we'll have to talk to the owner.
Trash these carts?
We'll have to talk to the owner of the place down there and get him to spring for it.
Some guys get a little mad and take something
out
of somebody.
No, I mean, generally not. I mean, the carts do take abuse, but, I mean, that's, you know, you're kind of responsible that if you damage one. I mean, you kind of have
to. I'm going to talk to these girls.
Have you raced it, like, big tracks around the country and stuff, like Daytona?
Go-karting, no. I road race a Mustang with NASA, but not go-karting, no.
Yeah. There's a lot of the kids that we know. A bunch of these kids that race in
the
now in yeah. Late
WKA
models, and super late models and stuff. They race in go karts and won at Daytona, and they're so proud of that. You know that
we did a lot of. Oh, this is the one you want to hit. Saturday night, Under the Lights Kart Racing. International Motorsports Academy is offering kart racing during the Charlotte County Motorsports Park Saturday night main events. Cool.
So that was the one thing you had asked about track configurations. We do change the track configuration for that event because there is a stock car race going on. So we will use the chicanes and the outside oval for that race.
Yeah, you play
race.
The peanut kind of
yep,
thing.
Yeah, we
when
do
you
the
go
peanut.
In and
yep, and everyone is welcome to do that race if they've had a racing school or race experience. And that's a pretty interesting race. You talked about carnage to carts. You've got stock car drivers out there, and you've got the some IMA professional karting drivers out there, and you've got a real mix. It's pretty interesting.
You also have an insane announcer named Jason.
You have a crazy announcer named Jason, and then you
took a microphone with
him. Got 2,000 fans, so it's a pretty interesting night under the lights. So we do offer that once a month as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome, and I hope more people get interested in karting by seeing that. And there's a mixture, and there's not too many tracks that will, you know, do that mix the karting with their regular Saturday night racing, because you got to do the changes of the track and stuff. But like I said, that takes a few seconds. Actually, it doesn't take very long at all.
So, Bill, that's awesome. Bill, the kids now are doing this because they're learning.
Right.
What are you guys doing? What are you into it for?
It's a blast. It's a blast.
Just cheap, a race.
Cheap what else are you going to hang around, watch TV on the weekend?
Yeah, right.
Go out there and you tear it up.
There you go.
Okay, how much does your cart
tear
cost
it up.
You?
You like to hear that,
but
the rental
your cart cost?
I don't have my own cart. I mean, when I do it, I just strictly do. My son, Carson, he does the IMA karting down there with the kid cart.
Okay.
So I go with him.
So you just rent a cart each time you want to go
right,
race?
Right. Well, all the endurance carts are rentals. You have to run their carts. So they're all evenly matched.
Okay.
You know, they spend hours the day before the event making sure that those carts run the exact same time around the track.
Oh, wow.
So that way nobody has any advantage.
Well, that's pretty cool.
It's a blast.
It's an awesome, awesome way to do it. It's an awesome way to get involved, and we appreciate you guys bringing the IMA to the forefront and stuff.
Hey, Bill.
Now we're going to move over.
Who are these young ladies?
We're going to move over to the mini cups, and we're going to talk to Cinderay Irish, Aaron Irish, and then Mr. Miller, the returnee, Mr. Miller.
He's a veteran.
Yeah, he's a veteran. So, anything changed, Mr. Miller, since we last saw you? Have you won another national championship or anything? Or?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Last time I saw you was at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. You were racing down there. Boy, those people were going crazy over this. You know, you got sent to the rear because you got in a wreck. They made you go to the rear. And everybody was cheering for you to come back, and you made it like back to second or something. It's pretty cool.
Now, Cinderay is 12 years of age, right? I take it that's you're Cinderay, because
yeah.
You're just a little taller. And then Aaron is 10. Okay. That doesn't work here. We're on radio.
You have to say
okay.
Yes.
Why did you guys get involved in the mini cup carts? What got you there?
I raced go-karts before when I got into the race scene for cars.
Okay, and then somebody just decided they would buy you a mini cup car instead of a go-kart. They thought that would be more stuff around you and protect you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thought maybe that was it. Now, how does it size-wise in a mini cup? Because she's got to be at least 4 inches taller than you, I bet, if not 3. But how do you fit into them? Do they have to have different seats and different stuff for them for you to fit?
Yeah, you can adjust the pedals, and there's adult seat or kid seat. And you have to be at least a few inches away from the top of the car.
Oh, yeah, just in case.
What number do you drive?
08.
08? And what number do you drive?
05.
Okay. Well, Cinderay, you hang on to the mic for a second because I ask you. Now, being older, did you start first or did you guys start at the same time?
We started at the same time.
Okay. So who kind of is the better driver, so to speak, already?
Me.
Is it? Okay. So you took to it pretty quick and you like it? You enjoy it?
Yeah.
Mini cup cars, for people that don't know, are just like, they look like little NASCAR cup cars.
I don't want to downgrade them and say that they're go-karts with skin on them, but that's kind of like what they are, I guess. But they just lay down. They do.
They go fast.
Yeah, and your head's really close to the motor. I know that.
They go really
fast. You're running. So if it changes tone, you know right away. What is one of the most exciting things or the fun things that you really like about running the mini cup car?
Winning.
Winning. Oh, just do you push people out of the way a little bit and you don't buy?
No.
You said that
not in mini cup.
You said that blushingly. I don't quite understand. Okay. So when did you win your first race?
I haven't won a first race in mini cup yet.
Okay. Well, how high have you finished?
What?
How high have you finished? Second, third?
Second.
Second. So you've been right there. You've been right. They got to make a little mistake in front of you, maybe. That's pretty cool. Have you won one yet?
Oh, I won in Orlando.
Too. Oh, you won Orlando? You forgot you won?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. She takes this like a veteran. Eh, no big
Absolutely.
Deal. I'm just fast. Have you won yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, but you're in two different classes, or you do actually run the same class?
We run the same class.
Okay, I wasn't sure what the age difference
was. So where have you raced so far? What tracks have you raced at?
Charlotte and Orlando.
Charlotte and Orlando?
Yes.
Which one do you like the best?
Charlotte.
Yeah? Why?
I don't know. It's just something about that track that I like better.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Is it? Which one's faster?
Charlotte.
Charlotte's faster than Orlando?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there you go. You have it right from the racer's mouth. It's faster. Cinderella, now, which one of those two do you like? Do you happen to like Orlando instead, or do you?
Charlotte.
You still like Charlotte, too?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was just worried that you guys.
What about you, Daniel? What's your favorite track? You've raced a bunch of tracks, right?
Ocala?
You I like had a feeling Ocala? You were going to say that.
You like Ocala? That short, tight turn in the bottom, and then that big old wide sweeping thing where everybody gets up so much speed you can kill yourself?
Yeah, I wrecked in turn 3 and 4 and hit the wall really bad, and we went up and bought 2 new chassis, and we got a junk body with it, so we're running that right now. So.
Well, hang in there and stay out of trouble and try to keep your roof up.
Did you close your eyes when you knew you were going to hit the wall?
I might have.
If I'm not mistaken, Mini Cups have been in Florida for a number of years because they showed up at Auburndale Speedway in about 1993 or 4. And there was about 6 or 8 of them that were running, and they were pretty awesome. But they had a big problem with it when if you get spun out and turned around backwards, it kind of hops real bad when it's, you know, the direct drive thing. And so the guy got turned around and hopped on it, and when he did, he slid right up through the belts, and his head came out the top and plopped it open, you know. It was funny. So, I mean, it's just watch out for that. Make sure your belts are on correctly.
That's not funny.
No, it was pretty scary at times. But it's kind of neat. And now, do you get to show the cars off, take them to school, or do anything with them to show them off to other kids, and they kind of get excited?
We get to take trophies to school, but not the cars.
Come on, take the cars, run them around the old track.
Do kids that you know at school come out to the races?
No, they don't.
No.
So nobody at school pays much attention. You race? You guys got to start advertising school.
Do you guys tell the kids at school that you drive?
Yeah,
you
we
race?
Tell friends and stuff.
Yeah, and what do they say?
They like it, and they want to start racing too.
Come to the track, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Imagine.
How did you start?
Go-karts.
Go-karts? I mean, what drew you to it? Why? Were your parents racers? Did you know somebody that raced?
My dad raced before. He raced trucks up in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Semis or regular race trucks?
Bill, let her finish your question. Thank you.
Go ahead.
And we raced at a family track before, so that's how I got started.
So then the next step was getting into competitive racing.
Yeah.
So cool. That's cool.
Mr. Miller, I imagine you got trophies that are too big to carry around school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
sound like Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Doc? Well, I'll tell you what, guys. It's awesome. It's an awesome way to get started. And we're glad that you guys are getting the right kind of training, getting the right kind of education about it.
What's Daniel Miller doing this year?
Mini Cup.
Racing all year?
Yeah.
Trying to stay in front of the girls, apparently, because I think they would like to win more races.
Yeah.
Are you guys all in the same class?
Yeah.
So when's your next race, Daniel?
They'll start teaming up on you.
The 31st.
Charlotte?
Yeah.
You guys going to Charlotte also, I guess?
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
How the points situation? Who's wearing the points? Are you guys keeping track of that at all?
If I was in the juniors, I'd be in the points lead right now. Well, yeah, I'm in the juniors.
What points position are you in?
I'm second.
Cinderay's second, and...
And I'm third.
Third. Ooh. Who's first? You're first.
Points racer.
So we got first, second, and third points racers.
Wow, that's really cool.
Girls, I want to say there's two that's of you cool. and only one of him, okay? So...
You're mean.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he can be. He can be.
Just tell him to shut up.
Imagine they got to work at catching up with you, buddy, because you got to have the lead on him. You've been racing a lot longer. Awesome job, girls. I appreciate you coming by. I know that this gets a little bit easier as you go when you get used to this, so hopefully we'll see you again near the end of the year when you've got the points lead, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, Rick, Bill, I think we're going to take a break here, and then we're going to come back with the number 93 team
from the ASA late model, Stan Parlow and his
whole. Would you like to drive an open wheel modified? If you had the chance? It's a giant go kart. Open wheel modified.
Hi, I'm Wayne Jefferson, driver of the number one open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, mother.
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips, like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory. So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting, because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from a selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
I did.
Real Racing USA, and it is time for the Evergreen Land Development ASA Late Model Winner of the Week, and that is Rob Partolo. Rob, great job this past Saturday night, brother.
Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, that was kind of a shock to us after practice. We really struggled to get that car right, but, you know, come down to the end of it, we got it right there, right in the last minute, right before qualifying.
I mean, that was a field of late models that has not been seen in the state of Florida in a long, long time. I mean, 41 cars showing up for that show.
Yeah, I tell you, when we pulled into the pits, I was a little overwhelmed when I saw the equipment there and the drivers there and everything else, you know. A lot of these guys, their dads drive Winston Cup cars, stuff like that, you know. But with that spec motor there, with that crate engine, you know, we knew we had as good a chance of anybody. You know, you can't outspend them on a motor.
So, Rob, what made you decide to go to the ASA?
Well, basically, it was that crate engine. Car owner Ron Summers decided, you know, the modifieds were getting a little out of hand with the price of the engines there. We could have a lot more fun, get a lot more publicity, everything else with these ASA cars.
So you planning on traveling the series?
Oh, definitely. We're going to hit every race in the South, probably select a few challenge races also.
So are you surprised with the attention you've gotten by winning this first race?
I told my car owner, Ron, I said, hey, we're going to have to get a PR director here or something if I win any more races. You know, it was 9 o'clock last night when I returned my last phone call. It was unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. You're all over the Internet right now.
Yeah, this is something.
I mean, you've been racing a long time.
Oh yeah,
and you've got a lot of wins under your belt, but by far this has to be one of the biggest.
Yeah, this is definitely the largest win, biggest one we've ever had. You know, there were drivers from all over the country come down to compete, the best of everywhere. And, you know, we were able to hold them off.
Yeah, drivers from Kentucky, from Virginia, from all, actually all over the country.
From a car owner standpoint, though, what was it like to watch him win that one and knowing it was a pretty good-sized race when it comes to the competition and the level of a notoriety you're going to get?
Oh, it was fantastic. I really wasn't that nervous, to be honest with you. I've been more nervous in some modified races than I had this because I know he's only got about 400 horsepower instead of 700 in the modified, so he can't get too much out of control with this thing.
Ron, let me ask you this now. When they had so many cars there, and they had to have a consi race to put a couple of more cars into the field, and so you had 10 cars go out onto the track and set a world's record for number of cautions in the shortest amount of time. That
said,
had to make you a little
bit... I said,
oh,
my God, what am I into here? You know, I got a $50,000 car, and I'm going to watch it get destroyed in two laps.
Was that amazing?
That was amazing. That was... It was scary, honestly.
Dick Anderson said that was the craziest thing he'd ever seen at a racetrack.
Like, I don't know what they were up. I don't know why they did that.
It was like
they
all thought they had to knock the other guy out of the way so they could be the last three or four.
That was worse than St. Pete years ago.
Hey, well, you know, don't go there.
Yeah,
it got pretty bad.
Yeah, we had like there was like seven cautions in three laps, and then
it
didn't get any better.
Flashes,
seven cautions in three laps.
It was crazy. It was crazy. It was
flashes
crazy.
Of your car at Sunshine being cradled back to the trailer.
Oh, I've been
times.
There, done that. Yeah, this boy here has loaded that thing in backwards many a times, all over the state and out of state. We've been there and
not
done that.
Many.
This time, though, all we got was mosquitoes on the front of it. That was it. So I like those
I remember
nights.
The time your wheel completed the lap and you didn't.
So Rob, you qualified ninth. You got real good draw there, huh?
Yeah. Whenever I have to pull my own pill, we don't have that kind of luck. So I got to thank Chris Fontaine there for pulling me the number one. You know, that nine invert put me on the pole there.
Yeah.
We owe him a steak dinner.
Yeah. And then you had to in the early part of the race, the first 60 laps or so, you had to contend with I think it was Jimmy Lang from up in, I forget where is he, he's from Hilton Head or somewhere.
North Carolina, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had went there and tested, and he tested with us. And, you know, after testing, we thought we were pretty good. We were about a half a second faster. So those guys definitely went home and did their homework there. I think there was a point there in the race where Jimmy and I both broke away from the field. We had about a five or six car length lead. But, you know, our game plan right from the beginning, we knew we probably weren't the fastest car, but we were going to keep it right on the bottom the whole race.
He had me in his ear telling him that the entire night.
That seemed to work out pretty well then. I got a question, though, in going just ASA racing from Sunshine Speedway or the local racetracks that we traveled with the Open Wheel Modifieds and stuff, how many more people has it taken to make this happen? Because I see you got a pretty good crew now, size-wise and so forth. What's it taking to move around the country and do this ASA?
It takes a lot. We've added a full-time employee with his younger brother, Dan Partolo, who's my crew chief, and he works full-time on the car and still doesn't have enough time. And, you know, by 11 o'clock, he's done with it and goes the next day. So it's taken a lot. We learn a lot the first race, and hopefully we'll improve here as we go along.
What are some of the places you get to visit this year? Where are some places you're going, man?
Well, I know we go to Hickory, North Carolina, you know, a place I've only seen on TV. We go to Cordell, Georgia, South Georgia Motorsports Park.
Nashville.
Birmingham.
Twice.
Yeah.
There's a race in Missouri. You going to make that one?
I don't think that's a points race, though. If it's not, we're not going.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
That's a long haul.
Yeah, I was looking at the schedule.
That's a long way.
We were sort of laying out an itinerary last night, and I see this Missouri, and I'm like, everything was making sense till I saw that. That's way out
Rick
there.
Rick Day called me. Rick Day with Xterra. He called me this morning, and he's in San Antonio, and he wants us to come out of there. And that's about a 22-hour haul. I said, well, I don't know about that, Rick.
If it's a points
race, maybe. Toe money.
There you go.
Yeah, that's for the Challenge Series race.
Right, correct.
Yeah.
Win Nashville, Rob, and watch what happens to your phone.
Yeah, that's. We would have went to Nashville here in a couple weeks, but we figured we kind of had to regroup. We're trying to put together a backup car, and we bought a used car. We stripped it down to bare metal. We're going to build it just like our other car. That's a long way to go without a backup car, motor, everything sitting there just ready to go. So
that was one of the things I was going to ask also is at your level, can you afford to go testing somewhere or do we have to stick pretty close to home for that kind of stuff?
Oh, no, we can go testing. For example, I can buy five of these crate engines for what my modified motor costs. So there's a lot of the test money right there, man.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
I forgot.
So that's a good thing.
Is the crate motors... the big reason that they had 41 cars?
Absolutely. From the guy who writes the checks, that's the only way to go. I mean, it's it makes a level playing field. It puts the steering wheel back into the driver's hand, crew chief's hand, set up. And pretty much down the straightaway, it's pretty even. Yeah. Well, it really is.
And that brings me to a question
almost as well.
That brings me to a question for his brother, Dan. Dan,
yes, Bill.
A good racer in your own right, watched you for a lot of years at Sunshine, but what's it like to step kind of out of the cockpit now and do all the wrenching on a car that just won one of the biggest races to start the year off for sure?
I'll tell you, it may be a weird feeling, and maybe for somebody else that hasn't done it yet, does this make sense? I feel more proud to watch him win than I do when I have my own wins. And as far as stepping out of the cockpit, I have not done that yet. I'm still running, you know, the Gulf Coast Modified Series. Chris Escott being my car owner now instead of myself anymore. So things are going to get better for my racing. And now working full-time on it. I got racing on the brain 24 hours a day, actually 31 hours a day. And, you know, like Ron said, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before we got ready for that race, I got to the shop at 8:30. I didn't leave till 10 to 10:30 every night till we loaded the car at 10:30 Wednesday night for him to go. Then was back down to Sarasota here, Jay with Evergreen. We bought his car for a backup car. And this morning was back in the shop at 9 o'clock, ready to go. Torn completely down from yesterday to today, ready to go to the Sandblaster tomorrow. Awesome. Trying to get that car ready in 3 weeks so we can go test both Georgia tracks at the same time.
Wow. It's so far from that. I got to realize I've had a lot more involvement with Dan than I have Rob over the years, because I used to stand in Herbie Copes and watch him, you know, stripping down the graphics for Herbie and stuff, and we'd sit there and crap around and talk about things for 8-10 hours. But it's just awesome, man, to see the things that have happened and how things have just progressed for the family. I know Mom and Pop are back there. I've seen them in the stands for years coming over to watch the races and stuff, and the gang that follows the Partolos. So I just know it's been an awesome, awesome, fun time, I bet, in the whole big picture of things, even though there's a lot of work involved.
Yeah, we've actually got another Partolo that started racing here, my son Cole Partolo. He's run carts there at DeSoto with the Tri-City Kart Club, and he'd won his last few races until Carson, that was sitting up here a little bit earlier, he beat him in the last few laps of the last race.
Yeah,
it's amazing to watch these six-year-olds just calculate and pass each other. And I mean, they're running almost 40 miles an hour.
Do you get nervous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had a pretty big wreck, and we were practicing in a parking lot, and he really didn't want on it for a little bit, but I let him go at his own pace, and when he wanted back on it, he went back on it. It didn't take him long to get the hang of it, and right now, you know, you can't stop him.
What clicked? What made it work that you won such a big race compared to running, you know, top five or top ten over the years?
Well, right there in the last few minutes of the last warm-up, Dan decided to change something on the front end. He said, well, we have nothing else to lose. Let's try that. And we picked up a couple seconds on the clock. You know, we were never really as bad as we really thought we were. We noticed, you know, after the races there, a lot of these teams had bought about four sets of tires. You know, we came with two sets of tires. That's all you really need. Four sets of tires, you go with a new set of tires every practice, that's going to put you at the top of the speed chart. So we were sweating over a lot there for a while.
Well, yeah, the first 80 laps, you and or 70 laps, whatever, you and Jimmy Lang have pretty much you did, like you said, you'd separated a little bit. You had some separation, but by the time the race had got to like 20 to go, Lang was no longer up there. You had Bo Miller behind you, and it was a whole different complexion from the last 20 was a lot different, wasn't it?
Oh, definitely. We know Bo Miller has a lot of experience. He's won a lot of these races. And, you know, Ron told me on the radio, he says, look, unless I see grass flying off turn four, you're not low enough. And, you know, that really stuck right there. I knew if I had to slow the pace down a little bit, just keep it on the bottom. You know, Bronson, it's really tough to pass on the outside. If they wanted the outside, they could have had it. But, you know, there's not much of an outside there.
Yeah, in the closing laps there, like the last 15 laps, last 20 laps, Chris Fontaine and Sean Murphy and Bo Miller, they were all up there. They were, you could see any one of those guys, if they had a chance, if they'd have got you out of the way, all heck would have broke loose, say no doubt.
Yeah, my plan was, even if they hit me in the back end, my front tires are going to at least stay on the bottom no matter what it took. You know, they could knock me sideways all they want, but we weren't getting off the bottom for nothing. It would have took a bulldozer.
Actually, I think that's what happened to Jimmy Lang. He hit you in the back, didn't he, and he checked up a little bit?
He got jacked up by Bo Miller.
Oh, is that how
as he got into Rob, Bo Miller kind of jacked him out of the way.
Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah, coming down to that last lap, you know, Ron and I have won a lot of modified races together, and usually the last lap, he keys that mic and he talks me through the entire lap. I knew right where Bo Miller was, and I figured he was going to try to do some kind of a last lap bump and pass, and I picked up the pace just a little bit to try to get away from him. I came off the bottom just a little bit right there at the end, but as long as I had, knew I had a good run off turn four, I knew it was over with.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he didn't make any contact. I think he tried to move inside just a little bit, but by that time I'd already gotten to the checkered flag.
What do you think about how the series was run that day? And how, you know, I mean, it's the first time you've been there doing this deal, and it's their first race this year with a whole lot of new drivers and stuff. How did it go?
It's really neat to kind of get a series that really sticks to the rule book the way they say. You know, you don't have any special favors for so-and-so's local favorite or anybody else like that. You know, the P&G machine somehow did end up lost, which has also happened on the modified series almost every race, unless we finish in the top three. You know, as far as everything else goes, it's all seemed great. You know, comparing modified to late models, whole different ball game. I really enjoyed it so far. Looking forward to the rest of the season.
What about your comments, Rob?
Oh, I think it's ran very professionally, and that's why I wanted to go there. I had went to four races last year just to check it out and talk to the officials and meet the owners of the series. And I love the way it's run. I mean, we went through tech at least six times, at least three times just for body templates. So it was really crucial on the body, and as long as they keep that up during the course of the year, I'll be happy with that.
Now, is there things technically that they do as far as how they run the race technically with the tech and the cars and stuff? Do they do anything different than say, the normal late model races?
You go by time. They have everything timed out for you, so you know when to be there, how long you've got to be there, when you've got to be on the track. You've got autograph sessions. You've got all this. That they lay it all out for you, so it's very professionally run.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Rob, this has got to absolutely be a dream come true, though, to get in this series, travel, you know, all over the Southeast. I mean, you're only a few steps down from the big time.
Yeah, definitely. I can't believe the publicity. You know, this is my one shot maybe to make it to Busch or Cup or something like that. With all this publicity, you know, we'll definitely take advantage of that.
Big time hell. I think we're in the big time now.
There you go, Romy.
Like, I'm in the big time.
Romy's in the big time.
That was
sure.
one of the things I wanted to get to the crew guys and ask, it, because you guys have been around long enough to see, you know, some of the local racing and stuff. What's it been like to go to a track with an ASA program, and what was it like for you guys?
Mesmerizing. I mean, if we weren't working or anything, I was sitting around looking, going, wow, I've made Daytona. You know? I mean, you haven't, but I mean, the rigs and everything.
And he's in the pits at Bronson.
Yeah, and it should be interesting because you're going to move now. Go ahead.
Phenomenal. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, as long as we can do good and we have the team and crew and everything, back everything up and put ourselves on the map, I think we can do some things and go some places.
Awesome.
Yeah, with all these changes we made, Romy here shed a lot of blood there. We threw everything in our trailer at that car to get it to handle.
Razor blade cuts, prayer force springs, muscles,
shocks, wedge, stagger. I mean, anything you could possibly think of. You know, I went out there one of these warm-ups, and I said, look, I'm just going to overdrive this car enough to get us into the race here. And actually, you can't overdrive these cars. They don't have enough horsepower. When you start breaking them loose, getting them to turn and everything else, you actually fall off a few tenths.
Wow. That's amazing.
So from now you go to, on May 5th, the next race is up in Cordell. Is it Watermelon Speedway?
Watermelon Capital.
Then you go to the Palace up there in North Florida. What is that? South Georgia Motorsports Park. That place.
Beautiful
is
place.
Great racing there.
I went to one of the ASA races there last year and watched that.
And then there's Birmingham, and later in the year, New Smyrna Speedway. That should be a heck of a test. And DeSoto Super Speedway later in the year back in Florida again.
Right. BIR. I love it. When you get to Birmingham, be ready for
a couple
one
of races at Birmingham.
Never been to Birmingham.
It's like Ocala turn around backwards. One and two is a short turn. But it's really cool to see, you know, the local guys. You know, you guys have beat and banged around here in Central Florida for 13 years, and then finally making it somewhere that makes
I feel I've got a good group of guys here. I mean, these guys eat, sleep racing, and so do I, and we're all very competitive, and I think we're going to do real well this year. I have big plans for it. If we don't win Rookie of the Year, I'd be surprised.
You got a good start to it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Wow, man. I'm just...
It's amazing,
awe.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, especially
it's absolutely amazing.
You know, the cars
go back 8 years and figure out how old he was. It was not.
It seemed to me, Rob, that when we looked over the qualifying times and then even seeing the cars on the track, it seemed like you had about 18, 20 cars that were pretty close. I mean, in terms of speed out there,
Oh, yeah, only a few tenths that separated the field most of the time practicing. You know, the track got real bad before qualifying, got real slick, and you know, I almost think that played into my favor. I'm used to driving a car that's got over 700 horsepower on 8-inch tires that really, you know, likes to move around the racetrack. So I just basically let the car do what it wanted to do. I didn't try to hold it down in the corners or anything else. Just let it drift up and, you know, bring off a couple good laps there.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, you did something right, because I'll tell you, you know, Jeff Choquette was there. He qualified something like 15th or somewhere like that. I mean, or somewhere in that range. And for him, I mean, that was...
Well, we qualify on sticker tires, which is different for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't get to scuff tires. You have to go in the impound. They impound the cars after you pick up your tires through tech. So you have to qualify on stickers, which is a big difference.
Yeah, some of those guys who were really fast all weekend in practice, like Tommy King, like right. Jeff Choquette, they didn't do so good on the qualifying runs.
Choquette tried.
Do you think Robbie, it gave you a little bit of an advantage because you have visited that track several times over the years and you kind of knew what was there? And a lot of these guys, I'm sure it was their very first time to ever see that track.
Yeah, I don't know if it was a major advantage because every one of these cars, I believe, had been there and tested before. It helped out a little bit. You know, I've set fast time there before in other cars, but this time was different. You know, we had no idea what was going to happen with those sticker tires. We've never qualified on sticker tires ever. We didn't know how the car was going to race. We didn't know if they were going to stagger upright or anything else. That was a whole new game for us.
Wow. Are there any other plans for... Go ahead.
You know, they didn't even, after qualifying, we weren't even allowed to jack the cars up and check the stagger. You couldn't do anything. Yeah. You couldn't have a rag near the car, gloves.
I saw Fane Skinner's crew get put a halt to. They were doing exactly that. They went to put a jack under it. The officials were all over it.
Yeah, they almost wouldn't even let you set the air pressures again. Yeah. I mean, it was... So you
had to go run the first full dose of running in the race, and when you took the tires off, you could finally check them to see what kind of...
We never even checked them. Didn't really matter at that point either.
So much for having a black book.
And then you take the ignition back, or
you got to take the ignition box and stuff back off. You have to take your transponder off, hand that back to them. As far as tech went, everything went pretty smooth.
That's a short entry in the black book. Black book, new tires, whoop butt.
I'll tell you one thing too. The tech man walked up and he said, "All right, go ahead and pop the hood off, take the air cleaner lid off, let me see the carburetor." Okay, he pulls out this black box. So, well, you just standard carburetor tools, right? There must have been 6 or 7 new tools I've never seen. It was amazing the amount of things he checked on that car. I'd never imagined you could check that many things on the top of a carburetor before, ever.
And you passed.
Flying colors.
So, are there any other plans for any other shows besides ASA, or are you going to just strictly run the ASA?
No. Right now we're just going to run. We're going to concentrate on the ASA series and do our best there. And we've got a backup car, and we're putting that together, and we're going to go for the rookie, and hopefully we're going to go for this championship.
That'd be awesome.
Leading the points.
That's the
game
plan.
Rookie of the year, championship, and not a bad way to start off, pad the bank account a little bit, hopefully.
Ain't running for no potato chips. Yeah, running for all the marbles.
That bank account was gone for that little bit of race winning we had there.
But,
That's cool. And it's an awesome way to start, and we're glad to see you do well. And I've been rooting for you, man. When I found out you were moving on up, I was hoping you'd get the right steps, the right place. And
you also know that he's the first person since 2004 to be a rookie and win an ASA race, the first race out, and the last person to do that was Matt Kenseth.
There you go.
You do your research, don't you?
Someone else told me that, so I figured I'd pass it on.
You could have just kept it. Yeah, I know a lot about this.
That's how we do most of what we do here. Somebody else told us.
Yeah, somebody else tells us a bunch of stuff, buddy. Well, man, all the best to you guys, and then just keep at it, just keep digging, and you'll make it. You'll have some ups and downs, but I guarantee you, you'll be there in the end because you guys are smart enough to get it done.
We'll be there with you at Cordell. We're definitely going to cover Short Track America. We'll be covering almost all of the races. We're not going to Missouri.
That is out.
But
you're not going to fly to Missouri?
No.
If they had gotten the schedule right, if you notice, we go to Carolina, they put Missouri in the middle of it a week later, and then put Georgia a week behind that.
Crazy. Yeah, a couple of crazy ones there. There's a couple of good races up there.
It's a road trip, baby.
In North Carolina, you're not only going to Hickory, you're going, I think, to Senoia. No, not Senoia.
Rougemont.
Senoia? Senoia, Georgia. Yeah, which is just up around Raleigh, just a little bit north of Raleigh.
That's when it's good to have friends in Kansas City. You can stop at their shop and work going out and stop coming back.
But, yeah, we'll be following you all year, so it'll be fun, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming by, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did we miss any sponsors? We got them all?
I'd like to thank Suncoast Plastering. I'd like to thank Ron and Vicki Summers, RS Elliott and Associates, and Winter Circle Auto Sales.
Oh, this has been the Evergreen Land Development ASA Late Model Winner of the Week.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
I'm Ron Jefferson, driver of the number 1 open wheel modified and number 94 super late model. And you are listening to Short Track America.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008 or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, mother...
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips, like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out loud.
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back a vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews.
Jack and Bill,
Dodge.
Come back to the set, please. Real Racing USA back live at the Snook River Grill. I'm here. Jack is over there talking away. Jack, you want to join us today?
Nah, Jack's talking. He's trying to get Partolo hooked up. New website or something, probably.
No.
Hey,
No, Jack. Who we got with us right now?
What's up? We're going to talk about Fast Times Production. We're going to talk about mini cups.
Let me talk about modifieds.
No, we're going to get to...
That's next.
That's next. Oh. We're going to talk to John Sapricone here in a little bit. But first, we have Rick and Susan Ariyama.
Hey, Jack, how you doing?
We're doing good, man.
So what's been going on, man? I ain't seen you in a month.
Well, thanks for having us back. Well, like you guys know, we put together a mini cup series, a fast mini cup series. It's the Auto Trim and Design Challenge from Manatee County, Florida. We got great many sponsors that came aboard with the fast mini cups to help our inaugural year get kicked off here. We got Lauer Motorsports. Puts together all our trophy package. Got Ram Transport. They've invested quite a lot in there. Plus, we got a great new sponsor everybody's very familiar with. We got Canon Filters. donated quite a few $1,000s this last couple of weeks, put the program together.
Before we go through each of those step by step, you can work them in as we go. I got questions about, are you running the Mini Cup Series as any other traveling series would be? There's a fee to get started or something, and then there's a payout at the end, or is it done differently because you...
No, we've kind of mixed it up this year. We do pay all our drivers out, you know, a nice purse for first, second, third. Actually, we pay just to show up money. But as far as our juniors are concerned, from ages 8 to 14, we give them gift certificates, prizes, you know, et cetera, as many, like some of these sponsors that we have on here, you know.
That's cool. And sponsors help do that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Gift certificates and stuff, they love doing that because it helps them on their budget, too. So.
Right. Yeah, well, this whole backbone of the Fast Mini Cup Series is actually Susan, my wife, she's the backbone behind this. I still work my 9-to-5. But, yeah, we are a touring series. We got a few tracks, and we're kind of going to try to pound one track owner maybe to let us in there and put on a good show over there at DeSoto Speedway. We've been bugging him all this year. He's been turning us down, but I think we're going to keep trying to work him over.
So you have some new kids and some new drivers and some young?
Yeah, matter of fact, you had two of them on your show earlier, Cinder Ray and Aaron Irish.
Yeah, they've been running mini cups, I guess, for maybe 9 months or so, or less than that, maybe.
You have a wide range of age groups of people racing with you.
Correct. Yeah, they got guys all the way up to my age, and we don't want to say how old I am, but I've got a lot of gray.
And that's the pro division.
Pro division, 15 to 80, 100 years old, whatever how long you can be.
6 to 36.
Well. Pretty close. I think they go...
Yeah, we start them off at 8 years old.
8 years.
So they're 8 to 14 or
is
something.
The junior fast division. Juniors, correct.
Okay. How many races do you have scheduled for 2007?
23 races.
So you've already run 3 or 4?
24. Oh,
24.
Got to ask the boss.
Keep him straight.
Yeah, we're in our fourth race. We'll be at Charlotte County the 31st of this month for our April Fool's race. We're going to mix it up for the drivers a little bit. Plus, I've got a nice motor announcement for them all. I think they're going to be pleased with for the pro drivers. We're going to try to enhance their performance a little bit.
Make them go faster?
Step them up?
Yeah, we're going to – I'm not going to disclose it right now, but we're going to add them to – allow them to add a little more performance-enhancing motor issues.
Wow.
Is that like spraying something in a carburetor like Nasty Car does? Or what? What is this? What
do
you
do?
It's okay for us to be the guys who get to tell them. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, we're just
I'm going to open up the cam rule for the guys a little bit, allow them to run a little bit bigger cam because we've got the ported and polished. They advance their timings. So I'm going to allow them to step it up a little bit. They've all been begging for it, asking for it, and, you know, we're going to let them do it.
Is this mean that it's going to cost more?
It's actually probably only about 2 or 3% of the cost of the motor.
Gotcha.
2 or 3%.
That was a good political statement there, wasn't it?
How much does the motor cost? Susan, for you to sit at home and work on this 24/7 the last few months to make it happen, what's been some of the difficulties and hard parts, and what's been some of the fun or the easy parts of it?
Actually, there's been no difficulty. I'm on that phone from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I have so many sponsors, I could not sit here and list them all.
What do they all like about it? What is it that you tell them about the mini cups and the kids that are involved and the pros that they all seem to like or get drawn to, or maybe they come watch a race first before they get involved? I don't know.
That we're a new touring series in the state of Florida, and that we have kids from 8 to 14 and 15 up, and that it's affordable. But what I tell sponsors is the one in the main, the truth is that we pay our drivers all the way back. The juniors, we don't want to leave them left out. We make sure that they have certificates. When we pay the pro drivers or the juniors, if it be cash, certificate, or whatever, there is a nice package that goes also with it that is from hand cleaners to oils to T-shirts to spark plugs, you name it. But we're just trying to bring the sport back into making it fair.
Well, like I said, I'd seen Mini Cup cars years ago whenever I first showed up at Auburndale Speedway. It was one of the first tracks, I think, in Central Florida they got a chance to go race at. And it was pretty interesting, and they were pretty awesome looking, and they moved pretty quick, and they had a good night. But the progression from there to here has been an up-and-down thing for these poor guys and gals because of the way people treated them and the way they were treated in general.
Exactly.
So to get a new view of that in the eyes of owners, promoters, and, you know, sponsors is very difficult. I'm sure you've had to work hard at that.
Yes. Actually, it was the drivers that came to us, like back last April, and said, we need another series to go to. I hate to say, a lot of them were very unhappy where they were at. And so we started it up, and like I said, we're just trying to bring the fairness, and our main concern is safety.
Oh, yeah, and that's great. And it looks like it's really building, and you're getting more cars and more people involved, and that's what makes
it. We should have probably a good 25 cars come at Charlotte County Speedway.
That's cool, man, because I tell you, that's a fun little thing. If there's enough cars on a track, it's fun to watch. I mean, from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, you know? Get 15, they pass, 16, and, 17 pros, and you get about 10 or 8 or whatever juniors out there. There's plenty of action going on.
Well, when Rick drove 4-5 years ago when he started into it, there was 26 cars on the track at one time. And it's fell off, and we want to bring it back.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you're working towards it. Who are some of the other sponsors before we forget?
Your sponsors.
We don't want to burn them all out and make them mad.
That's all right. We got ISC Racers Tape. They've contributed quite a bit. Got Hoosier Racing Tires, Race Car Engineering. They've donated excellent amount of certificates for all our drivers. Authentic Motorsports, everybody's familiar with them. I've got Bullfrog Performance out of Zephyr Hills, Florida. Ultra Shield, hundreds of dollars, again, worth of products. Ultra Flex is, supplies the bodies. There's the official body of the Fast Mini Cup Series. Summer Racing, they're coming on board in the next couple of months. But our race up in Charlotte County Motorsports Park on the 31st is boss. Definitely the main sole sponsor will be Commercial Diving Academy here in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the best diving academies. Ray Black Sr., he can definitely teach you how to weld underwater.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Heard of that. Heard
yeah,
that
it's also they got some supported charity events that Ray Black and the actually, you guys familiar with this, the Buckethead team?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Frenchie Pelletier, the manager now.
I was talking to Frenchie yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, man. He's definitely been doing a great job with the Ray Black Jr. Motorsports team they got going on there. This kid's phenomenal. Next year he's going to ARCA. And this is all just a big tune-up for him.
From a Mini Cup?
Actually, no. He's racing the fast trucks. Plus, he's got the fast late model. He'll be debuting the 31st at Charlotte County. This kid's in a short amount of time has really came a long way.
Yeah, our friend Scott McAllister with McAllister Sports Management, which is now Next Level Marketing, has been working with them. Yeah.
Well, you guys have done the same, though. You've come a long way in a short amount of time, so it's awesome. I hope to keep working.
But you guys also do something else. You have video production company, right?
Yeah, we have Fast Time Productions. I've got to say, this is all about my wife. She started off about 4 years ago just filming me, wanting to have a few, a little bit of archive to watch me race, and I'll let her tell you. She's the one that's really put it all together.
As a matter of fact, Rick, you guys, Susan, you videotaped these kids who were here tonight?
Yes, we did.
And those will be available for those folks if they so choose?
Yes, we did.
What else do you do? I mean, with the video.
Where did you cross the line from just taping your husband racing to taping just about everybody so you could sell a little bit here, there, give them back up?
Just to...
We got to eat, too, you know.
Just as said, he was racing, and I just felt that I needed to videotape it. And then one driver said, can I get a tape of that? And one thing led to another. And we were doing that for about 2 years. And then Fast Truck Series, Bobby Deal had asked us to come aboard to be their video crew. And we travel with them also. And now we film the mini cups the trucks will film anybody. I have did probably about 31 video bios and demo tapes in the last 3 months.
Cool.
Awesome.
It's just everyone's coming from everywhere going, do a bio. So, it's a good marketing tool.
So how do people get in touch with you if they want information about the Mini Cups or Fast Times Productions video productions?
That's www.fasttimeproductions.com.
That's times plural.
Yes, there's a S on times and an S on productions.
You know what, too? There's a link on Short Track America that takes you directly to your website, fasttimesproductions.com.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
RealRacing.com.
And we thank y'all.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Also, we, you know, my...
Yeah, we're not done here quite yet. Go ahead.
Right.
Well, he thought we were there.
It's my time.
Go ahead, Susan. Go ahead. She just get warmed up.
Okay.
We're running out of time.
We got some drinks, right?
Actually, you were into Johnstown.
No, I just wanted to mention that Commercial Diving Academy is coming on sponsorship this 31st, and they're going to be doing several things with us with some charity events. But their son, his son Ray Black Jr., it will be the driver for the charity events for the charity team.
Cool.
So,
you're going to be doing underwater filming here?
Yeah. Soon? Yeah, okay. We're going to do that too.
Awesome.
Cool. All right.
Are you done yet?
Yeah.
Okay, babe. Just making sure.
Well, when we come back, we're going
to
take...
to come to Charlotte County Speedway March 31st.
And we I think we'll be there.
Be there
I think
or
so.
I can be
okay.
done.
Well, it's a charity race, and race points, trophies, cash, lots of cash.
And lots of little kids going
fast. Rick, wait. Rick, when we come back, I'm going to make the announcement about the new Modified series I'm starting, and I'm going to talk to John Sapricote about it, see what he thinks.
If you got calls or comments you'd like to ask John, 941-748-3490. He's sitting here, and he's ready for you.
I'm telling you.
Evergreen Development Construction Company is more than just a land clearing business. They help you from site inspection to blueprint design and construction. CJ Carberry and the Evergreen crew guarantee your satisfaction in every aspect of site preparation and facility construction. Call Evergreen Development Construction Company in Tampa at 813-202-8008. That's 813-202-8008. Or give them a shout at 813-478-8847. Evergreen Development and Construction Company, the only company you'll have to call. Evergreen.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet Inventor.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet.
You've given us the real American dream. A tray, 15 feet of food, and a little sign that says, "Go nuts, buddy." Pushing side dish innovation to its limits, you offer creamed everything and 400 flavors of gelatin. If there's beef, you'll chip it. If there's chicken, you'll fry it. And if there's gravy, well, then everything's going to be okay. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Buffet Boy. You know the way to a man's heart and a few hundred tasty ways to challenge it.
Mr. All-You-Can-Eat Buffet in Vanta.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Fort Collins, Colorado.
Airbag, somebody knocked a snot out of it.
What?
Lady, I was picking up Katie and pulled away from the curb and got banged by a lady.
Working overtime, my friend. Yeah.
Welcome back.
America's made my fortune. I believe in America.
Yeah, he believes in America, too.
Real Racing USA.
Welcome back.
All right, so now about modified, as I was telling you.
Where's the modified hat?
We got the modified hats. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, now I got the modified hat.
The biggest field of modified drivers in the state.
Ocala Speedway. Blue gray.
Are you keeping up with it here?
Now, what? John Sapricone, owner of DeSoto Super Speedway in Bradenton, Florida. What is the deal with the modifieds?
I'll tell you. It's what people should be.
He turned the video machine off. Oh my God.
We got a visual effect. John was ready for us. He got us.
That was good.
Some things are just too funny.
Yeah, you can take my driver.
So, talk to us, John. What's the deal, man? What's on your mind?
It's not what's on my mind. It's what's on everybody else's mind that, you know, kind of throw us under the bus and, you know, with all this modified stuff and the Gulf Coast stuff. And it's really crazy what's going on out there. And I think it has a lot to do with the economy, you know, of racing, why we're not getting all the cars and this and that.
So we can blame it on George Bush.
You can blame it on somebody, but don't blame it on the speedways. I mean, we give them the place to race. We, you know, we pay the money. We do whatever we need to do to help these guys. And it's a real tough thing. It's, you know, I have to say one thing though. We've had our points. You know, people ask me, you know, why don't you guys pay us a good points fund and this and that, and as Rick knows, we've been paying $15,000 for the last three and a half, four years.
Absolutely.
$5,000 to the winner.
Yeah.
And you know what? They said, you know, John, if you pay that, we'll come. Well,
they
I don't have a problem with that.
Why
last year, I said, you know what, guys, I had enough. I can't, you know, $15,000 is a lot of money. It's a couple of trips for me, you know, or whatever. But I said, all right, you know, it's over. So do you know what? We've had some 35-lap races last year, 50-lap races, a couple of hundreds. The Race of Champions pays $3,000 to win, $200 to start. We, you know, we did that, you know, go through the whole year. You know, I was having a 35-lap races. I was having 18 to 22 cars show up. Mm-hmm. These guys were buying four tires. I'm begging them. I'm saying to them, listen, guys, don't be putting four tires on for a 35-lapper. You know, we had a 50-lap or a 100-lap. We couldn't get 18 cars. Well, I don't know where it makes sense.
Two weeks ago, Charlotte County Motorsports Park promoted didn't start promoting it like until a week or two before, but they were promoting this big modified race. I think they had 14 cars. You had a pretty low car count.
I had nine cars.
Nine cars show up at your track, which is the silliest thing I ever heard of, because there's very few races out there that are more exciting than a full field of modifieds. What's going on?
Here's what I couldn't understand. They go race two 50-lap races for $500 each, put 50 laps on your car for a $500 win. How does that make sense? I mean, do they use the same calculators that we use? That's what I want to know.
Well, you've been asking this question. We have people on, like, the Florida Stock Car Racing message board on Karnak griping and moaning about modifieds and this and that, but then you put the word out, and nobody seems to want to respond publicly. What's the deal?
Your guess is as good as mine.
At the same time, I wanted to ask and kind of follow on with that one, and that is that with Fast Car taking over the modified series, the mini stock series, and so forth, have they taken on too much? Do you think it's just a little unorganization at this point, and they're getting better, and they're
kind of
working out?
Here's the story. We had
Let me make a quick comment on that as an employee of the racetrack. Now, their first undertaking was the mini stock challenge and the Southern Sportsman series on a night we rained out. And I'm going to tell you right now, for people who were new at the experience of running the way these series have been run, you know, by Todd and his crew, they were professional
to
the top.
Those guys are pros.
Scott
and
Becky and all of them, they came in. We had that schedule ready to go. Before we called the races, we knew the next time they were coming in, you'd made the deals with their pit passes everything.
You know, everybody was going to be taken care of. I made sure that I rescheduled those two races. I put them together. Before we called that race that night, that's exactly what we did.
So back to the modifieds, though. What?
Okay, go ahead.
Your question?
No, mine was, I was just thinking that maybe at some point things were getting stretched too thin, you know, from somebody's standpoint.
You know what I think really has to do with a lot of it is money. People will not look you in the eye and say, you know what, I really can't afford to race this week or next week. And I think that's a big problem. And a lot of people say, well, they blame it on the tracks. They blame it on the promoters. They blame it on this one. They blame it on that one. Nobody seems to be responsible for themselves.
Dan Pardolo has rejoined us here, and he may have a comment. Dan?
You know, John is absolutely I've not been sometimes a supporter of DeSoto, but I will have to back you on this. You're exactly right. You know, the Gulf Coast Series, they run 8 races. When they put the series together and we're going to run 16 races this year, no, my sponsor turned to me and said, I got tires for 8 races. You're on your own for the other 8. I can't do it. No way possible can I do it.
You know, I don't blame you. And like I said, money is tight. And I see, but when I see a late model show and we're selling 2 and 3 sets per car, I mean, it's amazing. But I just don't know what, you know, I just don't know where it is. We had 19 cars show up. I think it was 3 or 4 big motors. The rest were little Gulf Coast motors. And we had 19 cars show up. The year before, I had 32 cars. I started each one of those cars. I didn't want to, but I did. And, you know, it was great. Todd did a great job. I just think a lot of people are just holding back right now. Like I said, we disbanded the series. I wasn't going to pay $15,000. And you know what? I had more cars at every 35 and 50 lap show than I could imagine. I couldn't believe it.
It's hard to run a local point series. I mean, honestly, if you look at where are most of your cars coming from now, obviously they're coming out of the St. Pete area.
We got some from south, you know, down by Charlotte. We got a couple of those guys down there. We got St. Pete guys. We got it's all over the place. But my most thing is with these modifieds is a lot of guys are telling me, well, we can't put the 150 pounds on it on the big motor cars and run down there. I mean, we run the Race of Champions every year. It's 3,000 to win, 200 to start. There should be 40 modifieds there.
I've gotten suckered and missed it the past couple of years just because, I think the first year you had it, we paid our entry fee and everything. We're ready to come down. And I had an obsolete modified at that time. It was nothing that was going to compete against anything, you know, you had there at that time. But we were ready to come. Well, in a freak thing, it rains out the last night of points at Sunshine. She goes and never has ever done that before, made up at the end of the year points night, ever.
Well, you know, when they put this whole series together, I was a part of it. I sat at the table with Gary, what's his name, Robinson?
Robinson, yeah.
Okay, I sat at the table and shook his hand, okay? I'll look you in the eye, I won't lie to you. And I sat down there, shook this guy's hand, and he wanted my list of modified drivers, and I says, I'll put it on the table, there it is. I says, but I'm going to tell you one thing, don't double-cross me. Well, Bonnie and Frank turned around with Leroy and said, if John's involved with this whole thing, we're pulling out. We don't want nothing to do with them. So what'd they do? They threw me to the side. That's okay. That's fine. But it's as far as it's going to go.
That was the old days, John. That was the old days, man.
Well, it's fine, but I want, you know, you as a promoter, I want you guys to know how much these small motors are costing. You know, your son races against us.
How much are you paying for a motor?
You really want to know?
Yes, I want to know.
Really?
$13,000-something for these stupid little motors.
Wow.
Wow.
Now me, I don't have it. I still was running my street stock motor I had when Bill watched me win all those races when they were 10 to 1. I still had the same heads, same cam.
This is the question I have as a fan. And I'm not. You guys can talk motors all day long, and I wouldn't know what you're talking about. But the thing is when you have a full field of modifieds, open wheel modifieds out on a track like DeSoto, I remember when I first started going out there was like some nice 25, 30 cars. It wasn't unusual to have 30 modifieds out there. Man, it was almost as exciting as the sprints coming, you know? And like the average fan can't tell the difference between a car that's running around your track. They can't tell the difference between a second.
You're absolutely right. My pet peeve is a modified. I love modifieds. I drove them. I mean, that's what I love. And I'll tell you honestly, I love them better than the super late models.
Yeah, it's exciting.
A lot of fans do, too.
They're fun. Easier to drive. I hate the fact that I'm with a late model racer here now, but they tend to be a little whinier. You know that yourself. Of course, all drivers are whiners. I am, too, as much as any of the rest of them. But
you have it here first.
Hey, I'll admit it.
All drivers are whiners.
I will admit it, okay? I have nothing to hide behind anything. If you sit here and ask me the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. All right, you had your point series for your small motor cars separate for DeSoto. I think the first year you came out with it, It was like 30-something races at a local track. You know, I'm not.
No, I think it was like 21 or 22.
20, okay, I thought somebody told me 30, but.
You see, and you get a lot of this stuff. Well, someone told me this, someone told me that. Why don't you pick up the phone and call me and ask me? I'm not going to bite your head off.
941-748-3171. DeSoto Super Speedway. Baby, and we'll answer the phone and turn you over to John.
I mean, you can always leave a message. I'll always call everybody back. I might not call you back that afternoon. I might be out. Like, you know, I do work on the grounds, and I do a lot of things myself. But I will call anybody back. Believe me. Yeah,
Dan Coleman said he was crazy for cutting his own grass. Remember
a lot
that?
Of the,
that's right.
A lot of the folks that watch Open Wheel Modified Racing really, really like it because there's three factors, I believe, and this is just me. Open wheels, they can see the cars moving. They can see you moving inside the car, just turning the wheel, doing whatever, because it's a big open cockpit kind of thing. And the speed relationship is good to what they're used to seeing. I mean, you may not be fast as the late models, but you sure appear to be because they didn't know the difference.
You appear to be. That's right.
And so that's what part of it is, because I think that's a lot of the appeal.
Loud.
The sprint cars, open wheels. You can see the guy working his butt off in there.
And the bizarre appearance of the car itself.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah, it's kind of like
a car. I mean, you take a race car that's got, 8 inches less tire all the way around the car, okay? only limit the horsepower. I mean, most of these small motors, when they first started building them, were making 450. That's where the good ones.
You know what my
now
son's,
they're over 500.
You know what my son's making?
Huh?
430.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
And I'll show you the dyno sheet on that motor.
Let's switch motors and put that motor in my car.
That motor in
if
his
it's
car.
Making 430 and he's going that fast?
You'll give him your 450.
Okay. Watch him go around the corner.
Mine's 475.
Hey, looks like
and I'm still down to these other guys.
Whose dyno is it 475?
Excuse me, John. Just a minute. It looks like Rob Partlow just survived a Florida Short Track Report interview.
Moment.
Yeah, there you go. Good deal.
You see, when a guy tells me that they're making 500 horsepower and I ask him to see the dyno sheet, and they don't want to show it to me, I can tell you by the air intake through the carburetor how much, and you can compute it, how much actual horsepower you're making.
No, I know they can really play with that they want.
That's why I'm saying to you, when I ask you for it, and if you don't give it to me, well, you're not straight. You're not shooting me straight.
I don't have it.
But I'm just saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I'm honest with you, and I'm telling you right now, and I'm I don't think it's this. When we freshened it up this year, he freshened it up this year. I think it's making 445, and I'm dead on.
You know, 40 horsepower is a bunch.
It's a tremendous amount.
It's a ton.
I'll ask you another question. If you want to shoot me straight on it too, right here, right now. Why all of a sudden have you gone to Shaft Rocker? Someone like myself can't afford them. You're the only track that did it. No reason to do it. No one has Shaft Rockers.
We did that last year, and I made the rules with the Gulf Coast, and we asked them, can we do the Shaft Rockers? Well, by the time you get done with all the machine work, the guide plates, everything else, the roller rockers, you're still $400 or $500. I think they're $650. But
nobody had them.
But here's another thing: we're not saying you can't have them, but they're better on a valve train, turning them RPMs than a regular
We will be providing a dictionary of motorsports racing terms at the end of this show.
Technical issues.
Also, the CC rule went from 170 to 180.
Okay, you know why that was done? Rockers. Do you know why that was done?
No.
Okay. A couple of your motor builders out there, we popped heads off. We took the valves out of the heads, okay, on these modifieds, and they were all cheated up. And they swore they didn't touch anything. They swore. So I said, if you guys want this, I told Gulf Coast, if you guys want to do this, I want a CC rule on the intake runner, which we came out with 178. And it cannot be any bigger than that.
But we had a 160 because that made my world product heads. I had to bolt 50 pounds on, even though they were 8 years old. They were the first design ones when world products first came out, and they let them go on street stocks. You know, I'm shooting you straight. Those were on my street stock. I still got the heads right now. All right. Then the rule went from 160 to 170. Then a year later went to 180 with Shaft Rockers. And a lot of people are telling me, you know, all hearsay again, they're changing the motor rule to keep up with what you're doing.
You think them Shaft Rockers are giving you 20 horsepower? They're not.
I wouldn't run them anyway.
They're
more
reliable, and the Dodge motor has them. So why can't anybody that has a Chevy motor run that Shaft Rocker?
Hey, real quick.
That's a good point.
Explain what the Shaft Rockers are real quick.
a quick overbite of it.
Yeah, just very, very.
As you bolt the shaft rocker, basically there's one shaft that goes between your intake and your exhaust rocker, keeping them together on the same. You bolt it. It's got three bolts that bolt right on the studs, and you bolt them down on the head that way. And, yes, I can see John's point. They're more durable. They're more dependable. That's a good thing. I'm not arguing that point. Just the fact that nobody have, and all of a sudden, you know, like you said, we don't have to buy them.
Are they an advantage?
On the long run, maybe. Yeah. You got to figure, too.
The durability is better.
Horsepower. Is it going to give you more horsepower?
Just put it this way. These super late model guys are running them. They're running them for a reason.
Okay, so down to brass tacks here. What is it going to take to put 30 open-wheel modified? No, forget that. What's it going to take to put 30 open-wheel modifieds in a race, or 25?
I think you're going to see them come back. I'm not really worried about them because, like I said, I've had four bad nights already racing this year with our car counts. Well, our car counts have been good, but our fan count is cold. We got rained out. I mean, we really, you know, a lot of people.
Rocky start.
Rocky. It's been. I can tell you right now, it's a rocky start.
Right.
And I know everybody's having a hard time.
Right.
You know what I'd like to see one big championship modified race a year, or at one at each racetrack or whatever. Like I said, I love my Race of Champions. That is my race.
Ocala at the blue.
Yeah, I know. They had a 200 lap race. Yeah.
Very, very good car count.
Was it big motors?
It was a mix. And I really look at the mix, Jack, if you'll correct me with this. Half of those cars that came down were from out of state.
Yep.
Oh, is that right?
Easy.
In my opinion, yeah. You were there.
20 of the cars.
Yeah, it wasn't 18, like 20. All the Florida cars were there. This year, there was a lot more cars seemed like coming down from up north.
Well, they used to run that race at Lake City, and a lot of the guys from Georgia would come down Alabama for the modified race. That was a tradition, that race, at the end. I think it was in November. And they ran.
We're not going to get those guys in August or September.
No, I'm not going to get them down by me. They're not going to. They're not going to come down by us.
There was a good 8 or 10 out of Georgia, Alabama, and then a couple, one or two from Tennessee. And
they ran that race. But
I'm told,
will it come back? I think it will come back, and I really believe in it. Will come back.
I'm told that there are like 80 to 100 modifieds just sitting around. Well, and what's going to get those guys back? You say it's money. Do you agree?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. Before the last DeSoto race, when we came for the Gulf Coast Series, I owned my own car for the past, you know, ever since I started racing, I've only owned my own car.
Right.
Okay? I had a sponsor committed to putting tires on for 8 races. Anything extra was myself. When you got somebody like me that's only making $500 a week take home, can I go compete at DeSoto Speedway, put 4 tires on my car, get my family in the gate, and race that night and finish 10th or 12th or crash? Can't do it. I got to sit at home.
Yeah, but he should be paying you fairly some, because you got like 28 people that follow you through that.
All right. Well, here's let me just give you a little example here. Here's the limited.
Bill's on my side.
Here's the sheets of the limited late model motors that have been built for the last 2 or 3 years.
John, you got all these statistics and charts and graphics. And
John has a black book.
This is
book.
Scary. This is a black book.
This is the Speedway. This is my life, my livelihood right here. Sunshine Speedway
late
rules.
Abuse.
I mean,
no, I'm kidding.
I got everything in here. I got payouts. Whatever you want to know.
What's the next modified race? When is it at your track?
My modified race?
Yeah. When's the next modified?
Well, it's we got a 35 lapper this weekend.
Okay. What's a 35 lapper pay? Still 500?
500, 600 for 12 or more.
600 for 12 or more, and does everybody in the field get some cash? I mean,
yes,
like
everybody
50
gets
bucks
paid.
Back or something.
Everybody.
So everybody knows what they're up against when it comes to tires.
Well, here's another thing,
so
too.
Forth,
when you come through my gate and I give you an entry form or whatever, and it's $50 entry form, and I tell you what first pays, second place pays, all the way down. So there's no, you know, when you come to the pay window, there's no, like, well, I thought you were paying $1,500 for this 50-lap race. I can pull that out and say to you, you sign that, there it is, pays $1,000.
Yeah. Well, and those are the things that a lot of the guys are looking at, because to buy tires, fuel, and so forth, and put a few people through the gate, you know, there is an expense. So they at least want to finish high enough to hopefully they can at least break even.
You know what I would like to do with racing? Well, say a 50 lap, just an example. Pay everybody in the field $250 and race for the trophies.
We were talking about this the other day, John, and
you
were talking about this.
Because
absolutely.
If he crashes on the first lap leading, right? He don't get $25 at the pay window. He gets $250.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting. We were talking about this the other day, and I've been saying this for a long, long time. Years I've been complaining about this. Hang on just a second. Because the guys who finish, if you have 25 cars in a field, the guy who finishes 17th has put on the show. He's come to be a performer just like the first place guy. And a lot of times, I mean, this changing $30 here or $20 here seems to me a bit stupid.
You know what I would like to do? I would like to do something like that, not charge an entry fee. But, I mean, if you want to buy the tires, you buy the tires. But you got to run my stuff. That, you know, that's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, you know, we could have a $4,000 or $5,000 payout on that race. You know, and that's 18 cars. And it's, you know, to pay the guy to win $1,000, you know you're running for the trophy. You're not winning. If you're in this to make money, you're in the wrong game. Bottom line.
Howie Commander's.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Just like
right.
I run
exactly.
it. The, just like I run it the kids, the 12 to 17-year-old Magic Fours, they race for a trophy, okay? But they bring the aunts, the uncles, this one and that one. But I give them something at the points. I give them a ring. I give them a jacket. I give them a big trophy. And I give them a savings bond at the end of the year. It might not be a lot, but at least these kids end up with something.
Jeff or 401ks?
Don't start.
If he does, I don't know about it.
Don't start.
Danny.
Don't start 401ks.
I'll tell you what,
Bobby Allison here.
Real quick, just to touch on the motor rule, I want you to back me up on this because obviously, you know, you have a lot to do with your son's car.
By the way, that's not my car. That car was Bill Mansfield's car. The kid earned that car from working for him. His uncle does all the motor work on them cars. Anytime you want me to pull that motor apart, or they want you, like they Saturday night, they were going to pull it apart. They wouldn't put the money up. He was ready to put the crank on the table, the pistons, whatever you want to see, no problem.
Well, it doesn't bother me. I'm not really worried about it. You know, I've not been fast enough for him to really outrun me. If he runs me over, then we'll get into pulling a motor apart. Because technically, I usually stay out of somebody's way if they're that much faster. Anyway, being said, motor rule stuff, quit changing them. Quit changing them at the end of the year. Don't give them any more stuff.
I haven't changed those motor rules in 4 years. So I haven't personally changed them. The only thing that I have changed, I had to go to the head rule with a CC rule because of the engine builders down in Florida are telling me that's the way these heads came. And a 6 or 7 year old can pull the valves out and look at them heads, and I can show you a brand new head, and I can show you a head that's been touched.
So John, how do we get 20 modifieds or at least 15 that are out on your track? That are out on your track that are running within a half second of each other. How do we get modifieds being like we should have learned? Marty Zier, who's the father of Dalton Zier, came up to me at Bronson over the weekend, and he said the Florida promoters should learn something from this, okay? And I'm thinking, okay, what's it take to put 15, 20, 25 modifieds on a track that are all pretty close?
All the modifieds are probably within 5/10 run by us. They were probably within about 5/10. The pole was, I think, a 15-1. I think the slowest car was a 6 this weekend. It was 9 cars.
I don't know. I've been as fast as 15-3, and then I've come back and been as slow as 15-9. So I'd have no clue. It just, the track changes that much. And, you know, kind of Wayne Jefferson tells, you know, if you race there every week, you get to keep up with it. That's why he's so good.
Well, what I'm hearing, though, is the request not to make something, change something to make it more of an even playing field. Just stop changing things.
Change,
keep it at an even
Change the head rule when you did. You went from 160 to 170. Everybody threw their heads out and went and bought new heads. $2,500 for a set of heads.
I didn't do that. I did
okay,
not
I'm
change.
Just saying.
But what I'm telling you is I had to change that head rule because if your engine builders in this state would not leave the heads alone. The valves were popped out of the heads. You look down, and it was funny as all hell.
All right, so now what we've basically come to tonight is we have to realize, Rick, Bill, I think we're going to have a special edition of the Inside Florida Racing.
All modified.
Where we just simply address this issue because we thank you guys for your input.
Can we just call it motor?
We're up against the clock in a serious way here. We're already over, and this place closes at 9 o'clock. So
We're going to have to get back to this at a later time.
It's great having both of you here, though.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was good. And that's what you wanted, Danny.
Well, I would like to
Danny,
see
I really appreciate
a lot of, people
this.
Come down here and you know, discuss this on the air. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to shoot from the hip, and I'm going to tell you what's right and what's wrong,
and
what I think.
And I'll vouch that John's got the book here.
He's got the book.
Any of the monies that he pays out, what it is, how much it is, right down to the
book. So all these message board maestros sharpen their pencils.
I would like to see Karnak do a story on every racetrack in Florida, what they pay out. Put it on the table. Put your cards out and let's see. Because I have mine right here, and I'll put it out anytime anybody wants to see it.
There you go.
There you go. You
John
got it.
John throwing it out there.
This weekend, there's a whole bunch of racing going on around the Sunshine
John
State.
John has been nice enough to give me the weekend off.
That's right, because we're going to the first time ARCA will ever be at Lakeland USA International Speedway. And it's going to be exciting. There's a lot of stuff going on, but that's one we're going to be at. It's going to be really fun. We'll be there Friday and Saturday, as a matter of fact.
There you go.
I'll be there with a painkiller.
Well, just let me know when you guys want to do this again. Let's promote this. Let's get some people down here. Let's get it on. Maybe we'll have a special show on it or whatever. But I still want to see everybody's payout. And maybe we'll put the whole state on the same payout.
Maybe DeSoto Super Speedway could sponsor such a show.
There you go.
Whenever you want to do it.
There you go.
We've covered a whole bunch tonight. Lots of young kids.
We got to
go ahead, Bill. Round it up, man.
Like Bradley Hagerman, Ismael Rodriguez, Alexis Stinger, Nathan Stinger, all the people that came with the IMA, all the folks from the Partolo clan. He brought half the family with him, I'm sure. The Internet Radio Network, Mikey helping us out, man. He's always keeping us straight. John Sappercone, Dan Partolo for making it really interesting at the end. And Rob Partolo for winning another one for the small guy, making everybody believe that they can get her done.
Evergreen.
Evergreen Construction Company.
There you go.
The guys.
Evergreen Land Development.
Dayton Andrews Dodge. Evergreen Development and Construction Company.
Evergreen Development and Construction.
And the Slipwater Grill. Thanks so much.
And the ASA Late Model Winner of the Week. We'll be back here next week, 7 to 9 p.m., right here at the Snook River Grill. Good night now.
one more time.